Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
This is Devin Nunes. Welcome back to this week's podcast. I'm proud to have back on Gordon Cheng, expert on China issues. It's an issue that we've been covering in the United States Congress, on the House Intelligence Committee, and elsewhere. It's probably one of the only things that gets bipartisan support, and that is that China continues to be a problem. But what I want to do here is to do a little bit of a deep dive, because China has been doing, they've been doing things here in the United States that look rather innocuous. They look like they're just teaching people. They're sending people over. They're recruiting people to come to China. And there's not a better expert in the United States than Gordon Cheng. Gordon, what are these supposed little schools doing all over, hundreds and hundreds of these schools doing all over the United States?
Yeah, there were about 110 Confucius Institutes on American college campuses. I think we're now down to about 100 or so at last count. But these are technically China's Ministry of Education, but they're really operated by the Communist Party's United Front Work Department. The United Front Department actually is the Communist Party's liaison with everybody else, and it's really meant to be propaganda. So you have these Confucius Institutes, and they are supposedly there to teach language, but they do much more than that, Congressman. What they are doing is they're intimidating a number of universities into accepting positions of the Communist Party that I believe are just inimical to us. So, for instance, you can't talk about the Tiananmen Square massacre of 1989, Tibet, what's happening in the northwestern part of China, which we call Xinjiang.
So if a college gets money from a Confucius Institute and they set up a Confucius Institute in the community, I did not know that. That's one of the requirements?
Well, the agreements between Confucius Institutes, CIs, and universities are generally not publicly available, and Beijing has made it a condition to having an agreement. So there's a lot of that we don't know about these agreements, and that is, of course, a concern. But also at the same time, there's something called the Chinese Students and Scholars Association, which has chapters across the United States, and these actually are more dangerous than the CIs. Because what these are—
Than the Confucius Institutes.
Than the Confucius Institutes. Mm-hmm. Because these are basically oftentimes operated by either the Chinese consulates that are nearby or by Ministry of State Security agents. These are meant to, first of all, oversee Chinese students, to intimidate them into silence or to intimidate them into political activism that serves Beijing's cause. So this is a violation of American sovereignty.
And how many of these groups are there around the country, estimated?
In terms of CISA chapters, I believe there are about 150. I'd have to check. But there's a lot of these. And they operate very much as a part of the Chinese government. And indeed, much more dangerous, I think, than the Confucius Institutes. So the United States needs to start to examine both the formal relationships that Beijing maintains with they're called CISA, Chinese Students and Scholars Association. We need to, first of all, look at some of the formal relationships, which I think violate our sovereignty, but also some of the surreptitious activities and surreptitious supervision.
And the reason you're saying that, Gordon, is because this is where they're setting up platforms. I think this is kind of what, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but they're setting up these platforms all over the U.S. to essentially run intelligence gathering, spying, recruitment operations. And so let's move the conversation now into how are they stealing this technology? What methods are they using? And what are they targeting?
Just one more point. This is a reciprocity issue, because the United States could not establish an American institute, a Reagan Institute in China, right, and we couldn't have student scholar associations on Chinese campuses. So this is a reciprocity issue. You know, in terms of how they're taking information, they're taking it, for instance, the old-fashioned way. But they also are using students, some students, to download huge amounts of information from open public archives that universities maintain. Mm-hmm. And they're doing this not because of any good purpose. This is malign. This is China's what they sometimes call the thousand talents or thousand grains of sand approach, where they just send students, businessmen, visitors, tourists into the United States to gather up every single piece of information that they can. And what they do back in Beijing is to reassemble it to see, get a pattern. So this is in addition, of course, to their cyber activities, which are extremely extensive with their surveillance through the internet and the rest of it. So this is really a challenge for us because I don't think any country has ever maintained such an extensive intelligence gathering operation against the United States. The Soviets, in the Cold War, I don't think they even came close to what the Chinese are doing now.
Right, because during those days in the Cold War, if there was a Russian or somebody speaking Russian that was trying to infiltrate, it wouldn't be tolerated. One of the challenges is you're a Chinese American, as is your wife. And, you know, we've had Chinese Americans here from mid 1800s, first Chinese came to the United States. And so it's a bit of a challenge with these large populations. And so, you know, nobody wants to be seen as, you know, if you might be speaking Mandarin out of the country, you know, you don't want to be caught in that position. But at the same time, if you're affiliated with one of these institutes, I think the American people, especially U.S. companies, need to be on the lookout for exactly who they're employing and who they're letting into their company. And that's one of the challenges, I think, also is it's almost as if that they're bringing in these Chinese nationals and seeding them into high-tech companies all over the U.S. to steal proprietary information.
This is critical, Devin, something that you just put your finger on, and that is China actually targets Chinese Americans, those who have some sort of connection with China. They specifically target them to gather intelligence for Beijing, to play upon the loyalties of blood, as the Chinese would say. And we Chinese Americans have tolerated this, and it's really up to us in the first instance. Because, you know, in San Francisco, for instance, close to your district, you can see the People's Republic flags, Chinese flags, flying, many of them, over San Francisco. And this is absolutely wrong.
That's not just the homeless people wrapping themselves in them?
No. Oh, okay. These are people who are extremely wealthy, who are proudly flying the flag of, I believe, an enemy of the United States. And so we have seen Beijing specifically use Chinese Americans. And the reason why when the FBI publicizes and goes after someone who has stolen data, you know, missile chips was the last big case. These are Chinese Americans doing this. And we Chinese Americans have not wanted to police our own. And we have got to do something about this because we as a group have been targeted by Beijing and we are not willing to call out the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party for this.
Well, that's one of the challenges. You know, we all have Chinese Americans that are part of our family. I know I do. Even on my wife's side, we do. And really, that's our best frontline protection, our people that speak the native tongue, speak the native language, and can help identify for the FBI and others any potential challenges. But I think U.S. companies have a responsibility too. These high-tech companies, they want really smart, well-trained people. And I think they have to be on the lookout. If there's a very smart, well-trained person that's looking for a job, I mean, you don't want to segregate at all, but you have to be cognizant of the fact that this could be the Chinese military or intelligence services trying to get in and steal information.
It often is. There have been too many spies who have been Chinese Americans. And people in this country, of course, are sensitive about quote-unquote racial profiling. But it's Beijing that has done the profiling, and we've got to oppose it. And we may have to do things that we don't like to do, but this is an existential threat to the United States.
Well, Gordon, thanks again for giving us a deep dive into China's growing capabilities in the United States.
Thank you very much.
This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
It whips a dove. dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. First trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We, the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. Freedom marches on.
That's why they call her the home of the brave.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.